In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are continuing our journey in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, and we're picking up at verse 3. Let me read. And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten on this day. You are going out in the month of Abib." Now, I love this phrase, "remember this day." It doesn't just mean simply recall, but it also means to proclaim, to praise. So this is a day of great celebration. Now, think about their past. He talks about how they were in Egypt, a house of bondage, of slavery, of servitude. And this has an incredible parallel to us, because isn't it true that we have been saved out of a bondage? Weren't we slaves and weren't we servants of sin? And that's the picture. Now, I don't want you to miss this connection, because this is the purpose of Exodus. It is laying the groundwork to show us what redemption looks like. Yes, it truly was the redemption of the Israelites. They were being delivered from literal slavery. And by how? The Passover lamb, by the blood of the lamb. But we, you and I, those who are members of the body of Christ, we've been delivered from a greater bondage, the bondage to sin. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." 2 Peter 2:19, "While they," and this is the false teachers, "promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." Maybe you're not a believer and you're listening to me today and not even sure why you're even listening. But this is one of the great truths of Christianity, that Jesus Christ, who is God, has come and he has died. He was buried and he rose from the dead in 3 days. And his sacrifice for sin was accepted by God, and that whosoever believes in him will not perish. And when you place your faith solely in the person and work of Jesus Christ, well, God does an amazing exchange. He takes your sin and removes it from you as far as the east is from the west, and then he gives you the righteousness of Christ. That is an incredible promise and truth from the scriptures. Romans 6:16 says it this way about our sin. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine of which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." What an incredible change that God does in the life of a believer. We turn from being slaves of sin, we still remain slaves, but now to a benevolent master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Father. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." What an incredible contrast. I'm either a slave to sin and death, or I am a slave to righteousness and eternal life. And that's why Romans 6:23 says it perfectly, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What an incredible truth. And so as you look at the great deliverance of the Israelites out of the house of bondage in Egypt, say to yourself, thank you, Lord, for your great deliverance of me out of my bondage to sin. Now, in the present, he uses the term strength of hand, and this is to remind the Israelites and us that it is the Lord alone, the Lord himself, by the Lord's power alone, he brought you out of this place. Exodus 3:20, it said earlier, I will stretch out my hand, strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after that, he will let you go. And that's exactly what they're experiencing this very night of the Exodus. Exodus 6:1 says it this way, Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And this very night he does. But there's a future meal involved to recall this great deliverance. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Now, if you don't know what leaven does to bread, let me just give you a visual illustration. Picture in your mind Wonder Bread. Big, thick loaf of bread. That's what bread looks like when it's been leavened. Now, bread that's unleavened, imagine saltine crackers. Flat, striped with a whole couple holes in it. That's the difference here. And so when it says no leavened bread shall be eaten, there's going to be no time for Wonder Bread. There's only going to be time for crackers. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 5:1 through 8 makes an incredible connection for us regarding this. Let me read this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as it's not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I indeed, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul's saying, this sin is so grievous, it requires punishment and the death penalty. And God will deliver him over to death, to Satan who will do this. Your glorying is not good. They were celebrating this sin. Do you not know, and here it is, that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So what's being said here in the text? Paul is taking this picture of literal leaven in the Old Testament, which would puff up bread, and now he's applying it metaphorically as an analogy in the New Testament. That leaven is puffing us up into being prideful and arrogant. And he's saying, bring the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It's an incredible picture, and it's a great reminder of what sin is. It is a little leaven, right, that gets into your life. And sin leads you to be prideful. That's why when people call you out, when they call you to repentance, you resist. Your flesh says no. That's the leaven, and that's the pride. And oh, do we need to be humbled when we sin. So the next time someone confronts you in your sin, humble yourself. Receive and discern that what they are speaking is truth and love, and then confess and repent. Don't allow that leaven to remain, but confess it, repent it, and purge it out, and pursue sincerity and truth. And then Moses writes, remember this day. I love this phrase. Don't forget. On this day, you are going out in the month of Abib. So the implication just in this short, brief passage is that having been enslaved, they would not want to know enslavement again. Now, they get that. I'm sure the Israelites on this day were like, wow, we're finally being delivered. We as a people have been suffering slavery under the hands of the Egyptians for 430 years, and now we're free, and there's a sense of joy and relief. But they are transitioning from a master who is a tyrannical tyrant, Pharaoh, to a new master who's benevolent but expects holiness and obedience. And so this is a great picture for us, as I said, transitioning from the bondage of sin to now being slaves to righteousness and God himself. Now, there's some additional insights and instructions in Leviticus 25 regarding this slavery. And if one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. So he goes on to say in verse 40, as a hired servant and a sojourner, he shall be with you and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you, he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family. He shall return to the possession of his fathers. For they are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him with rigor, but you shall fear your God. What a great instruction. To the Israelites, now delivered from slavery, they are being taught to not enslave one another in the same way. But we find out later that they disobey. Now, this is the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5. It's 13 verses, a little bit long, but I want you to see how they have forgotten Moses' words, God's word. And this is, remember, post-Babylonian captivity. So they've already been removed from the land of Israel, and now they've been brought back, and this is how they behave. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, we are sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live. There were also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we've borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as the children. And indeed, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have been bought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I became very angry, Nehemiah says. And I said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother, extreme interest. So I called a great assembly against them. And I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses. Also a hundredth of the money and the grain, the new wine and oil that you have charged them. So they said, we will restore it and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they should do according to this promise. And then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus he may be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praise the Lord. Then the people did according to the promise. Now I share this Nehemiah passage because they had forgotten their deliverance. And they return to this fleshly treatment of their brothers, to charging usury and ridiculous interest and enslaving their brothers and sisters, and even selling them and their properties. Oh, how sad that is. As you reflect on this section of Exodus, spend time this week thanking God for your deliverance. But ask the question, have you re-engaged in more bondage to sin? If so, confess your sin, cry out to Him for forgiveness, and truly change through His power according to His word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.